The scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there, and as soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up with a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, say that the Lord needs it." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey and on a colt of the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then Jesus sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off of the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings in the name of the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. They were gathering as they had for generations gone by. It was time for Passover, and they were part of the multitude of pilgrims who converged on Jerusalem to commemorate the feast. Together, they would offer sacrifices to ensure that they met the purity requirements to fully participate in Passover. As part of the tradition, they would tell their story, a story shared by their people, a story of the deliverance of so long ago as God's mighty hand stretched forth to release the people from servitude in Egypt, a story of miraculous intervention that paved the way for their escape through the waters of the Red Sea, a story of journey toward becoming the people of God. Passover was a commemorative feast of deliverance and independence. Now, with the people being subject to the rule of Rome again, hope for yet another deliverance swelled in intensity. They were tired of being kicked around. They were hungry for freedom. This was not the first year they stood by, keeping their hope alive despite their desperate condition. They came year in and year out, waiting for deliverance from what life had sadly become. Passover posed a problem for Rome. It was an annual headache, a potential uprising or rebellion among the restless subjects. But not to allow Passover to be celebrated would likely have caused more trouble. After all, Rome's current containment policy was keeping a lid on things well enough. Roman troops would march into town, into Jerusalem during the festival. In fact, they were arriving, marching into town about the same time Jesus was arriving in Jerusalem. They would march in, making a great show of military power and strength, complete with war horses, columns of marching soldiers, rule by power and intimidation, squelching all hope of the people. Yet, here they are again. Even though nothing ever seemed to change very much, the pilgrims returned year after year, declaring their faith in God, who had delivered them and whom they trusted would deliver them again. A faith that refused to be shaken. Would this finally be the year? This was their cycle of hope, looking to God who had delivered them, standing in need of deliverance again, remembering the story, just to sustain their hope, waiting and hoping for God to lift the oppression in which they stood. They hoped for a hero, a Messiah, a deliverer, and Jesus seemed to be the guy. Others didn't seem to be getting a lot done. The temple leaders seemed to have sold them out. They were in Rome's pocket, literally and figuratively. They stood in collusion with the empire to assure their own place of privilege. Then there were the Essenes, those who sought to make Israel great again by withdrawing to maintain purity. Their faithful isolation from the social ills did nothing to actually foster change for the masses who stood in need. Then there were the Zealots. They were always talking about armed rebellion, but that is about all they were, talk. A lot of noise, but not a lot of action. Meanwhile, the faithful returned, waiting in their own distress for God to finally do something again. They waited and hoped against all odds, against all reality. Maybe Jesus would be the hero for whom they hoped. After all, he had displayed miraculous power. He had healed the sick, even raised the dead. Surely he could stand up against Rome. He had said that the kingdom of God was at hand. Word on the street was that he was the king of the Jews. And he seemed to really care about the little guy, those who struggled to be seen in the margins of society were precious in his sight. Maybe, just maybe, he was their guy. So there they stood in what some have called a repeating cycle of dashed hopes, disappointment, and anger, and fear, and the longing need for salvation continued. What would they do? How could they sing songs? How could they possibly go to the Passover festival? How could they bear to hear, much less tell, the story of God's deliverance when they found themselves in just another year into their darkness? How could they dare to hope, to cry yet again, "Hosanna, save us, we pray"? It's really not too hard to identify with the pilgrims gathering for Passover. As we make ready for the upcoming Holy Week, we might wonder if a new day will ever dawn. Will the dawn of Easter dispel the shadows cast over our lives and over our faith? Do we dare to cry out yet again, "Hosanna, save us"? Maybe a better question is, do we dare to stop crying out? The people lining the streets as Jesus entered into Jerusalem knew the realities of their lives all too well. They knew how the religious establishment had sold them out. They knew the power of Rome that stood between them and the lives they hoped possible for their people. All that was left was their hope. It was a hope that was rooted in their story. And even in the climate in which they found themselves, theirs wasn't just a story that happened long ago. Passover wasn't just a story about how God's deliverance was made known in the land of Egypt. For them, the story was told on Passover was about their own needs. It was a story and a hope that was for now. It was their cries that kept both their story and their hope alive. They had to cry, "Hosanna, save us." And so must we. Palm Sunday is a day in the brink, a day when we stand at a crossroads. Is there hope for deliverance? Is there hope that our cries, our story, might unleash God's deliverance? Maybe, just maybe. But wait a minute. What kind of salvation was the crowd hoping for? What would deliverance look like, and how would it happen? The message of Palm Sunday is that we can hope. We can cry out for whatever salvation we need. The promise of the day is that God will hear our cry and God will answer our call. Maybe just not in the way we might expect. We see, not only in the events of Palm Sunday, but throughout the rest of Holy Week, that God dominates with love, not violence. God overpowers through sacrifice, not by taking away. God wins by suffering, not humiliating. Suffering and aligning God's self with those who suffer. We are reminded that through the cross, God brings salvation and hope deep into the midst of our common suffering. by doing something other than was expected, by doing it in ways other than were expected, Jesus caused a stir. It resulted in a different kingdom than the one the pilgrims hoped for. It resulted in an eternal kingdom of peace and of hope, a kingdom that could not be overcome or dominated by any oppression, ever. Not by Egypt, not by Rome, not by hate, not by violence. Maybe that is the kind of kingdom we need. Maybe love, compassion, peace, and solidarity with the suffering is our salvation as well. Maybe. Just maybe. Stephanie Yeager reminds us that it is people like us, part of the crowd whom God forgives for our false expectations, and then turns us into instruments of salvation and hope. Maybe. Just maybe, whenever we see some gentle or not so gentle stirring of the Spirit among us, whenever we see a light of hope flickering ever so dimly, that the message of Christ, the message of peace and compassion, can be our salvation, we must, with palms in hand, tell our story and forever maintain our hope for deliverance. We must never give up our story or our hope. We must never lay down our palms. We must let our cries of Hosanna never fall silent. And if we do, well, as Jesus said in Luke's account of this story, the very stones will cry out. In a world that often demands silence in the face of injustice, that tries to crush our hope, Jesus' words remain a radical reminder. Hope will not be silenced. If human voices fail, the stones themselves will cry out. The question for us is not whether shouts of Hosanna will ring out, but whether we will join the chorus that is already rising from the core of the earth itself. So, go ahead. Take up your palms and never put them down. Lift up your voice with cries of Hosanna, cries that refuse to fall silent. Maybe our incessant songs of Hosanna will strike a chord of hope that will be heard in the lingering darkness. Maybe our cries will begin to stir embers of hope in hearts which have grown cold in their brokenness. Maybe our voices will inspire others to join a song of praise and hope, lifting their own cries of Hosanna. Maybe taking up the palms is enough to cause a stirring of life and of hope. Just maybe. Amen.